Okay, folks, we're taking it back to December when we first brought you the riveting story of Bat Mitzvah. The tiny silver-haired bat lived in the crevice of a wall near NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. Have you seen this bat?
I've seen
in real
this
life.
Bat. No, not in real
I
life.
I did, because when I lived down in Washington a year ago, lived in this crevice right across the street in this bank
building.
So what
you're saying is that the stuff you just said isn't a lie. That's
no,
good.
It's
I'd like
true.
You to confirm a lot. Let's have that as a general principle on the show. We say something and then we
it's
take a
true.
Step back and saying that actually is true.
Okay. I've seen this little creature and it was really cute. People were really taken by this little bat. I don't know why really, but you know, you don't see bats hanging out around in urban environments that often. Mm-hmm. And we started blogging about Bat Mitzvah, and days later, Bat Mitzvah disappeared. It turned out that a bat rescue worker had brought her into a rehab center, and now after months of eating a healthy diet of mealworms and making little practice bat flights, Bat Mitzvah has been set free again. NPR producer Bill Chappell was there last night for the big moment. He joins us now on the line from Washington. Hey, Bill.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. So I understand that Bat Mitzvah's recovery and rehab was overseen by a woman named Leslie Sturgis. She's a zookeeper in Northern Virginia. And she was orchestrating the release last night. Where did it take place?
It was at Fort Marcy Park, which is along the Potomac River over in Virginia. It's also where Vince Foster's body was found back in 93. So
and
not a good precedent, maybe. But
not so much.
I wouldn't blame the bat. He wasn't alive then.
Right.
She. Right.
Bill, was there any kind of ceremony involved in this, or was it all pretty somber, straightforward affair?
Let's just say I'm glad I had the camera rolling because, you know, the bat doesn't really fool around.
Okay.
When it's ready to go, she just kind of goes.
Okay, we will get to details. I do want to play a little bit, set the scene, if you will. We have some tape from the release, and it sounds like Leslie had been waiting for just the right time to let Bat Mitzvah go. She also had her eye out for creatures that might want to eat our little bat. So let's listen to some of the tape.
Just all the conditions are favorable. Also, the cloud cover is favorable because that means that the light levels are low enough she can't be spotted by an owl or any kind of aerial predator.
So you're trying to make sure that everything could go as well as possible. Describe, Bill, what happened when Leslie turned the bat loose.
Well, she sort of... We did have a little flashlight on her so we could see, which, I don't know, I guess that's... I think that's proper, but she kind of looked around for a second as if she was making sure it was for real, that she wasn't being tricked or something, and then just kind of flitted off. And these silver-haired bats are pretty slow flyers, so we could actually watch her, you know, make her way into the woods and stuff.
Wow. Now, you blogged about going out to the rehab center, which is called Bat World Nova. Is this part of Leslie's home, the zookeeper's home?
Yeah, basically. She and her husband have made this little bat recovery center down there in their basement with these kind of converted chicken or pigeon coop things.
And what is this, just a hobby? I mean, why are they so into bats?
Well, I think it's just for, I mean, sympathy, you know? I mean, Leslie's worked a lot with the Smithsonian Museum, I mean, zoo. And she just sees these bats as needing help. I mean, it's they're what I think of a fifth of the world's mammals. So and
everybody's
she's
got
in love with them.
Everyone's got a cause, and she really does. She's clear. She's got a real passion for bats, and she's. We understand. We have a little tape of Leslie saying that it's hard to let the bat go, and you know, you never know what can happen. You let the bat go is the first step, but then you have no idea what's going to happen to her out there in the big, bad, wild kingdom. Let's listen.
Oh, I would love to know. I absolutely would love to know. But the reality is that to do that, you need things like radio transmitters and airplanes and whole research crews. And that doesn't happen for us bat rehabilitators. We just, you know, cross our fingers and hope that she's going to be just fine. And if I never see her again, then I know she did really, really well. And that's how we feel about all of them.
So, Bill, they didn't put a little GPS device on her leg or something?
No. There wasn't anything like that. I think, you know, Leslie doesn't have a lot of funding coming in, I don't think that was really in the budget. Most of the facility I saw at her house was stuff that her husband Rick had built. So that they have this converted gazebo in the backyard that's covered with a mesh, and then the bats can get in there and fly around and kind of try out their wings as they're getting their strength back up.
Okay, final question. Bill, you were one of the first people to really take note of Bat Mitzvah and elevate her to a subject of blog worthiness. You've been emotionally invested in this bat, I imagine, for some time now. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling really good about it.
Are you?
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
What if you were a mouse?
You know,
one more predator.
At least she's over in Virginia.
Why? Yeah. What's good about? Because you can go visit her.
Right? Oh,
yeah. Well, if I was a mouse, I'd think, here I am in the city, and she's over there.
Well, Bill Chappell, producer at NPR, he initially blogged about Bat Mitzvah, the little bat that NPR kind of adopted. She lived in a crevice in a wall across from her NPR headquarters in Washington. Bill, great story. Thanks for staying on it. Thanks for blogging about it. The end of a chapter. Bat Mitzvah is free. We appreciate you being here. You can see photos and video of Bat Mitzvah on our blog at npr.org/Bryant Park. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Bat Mitzvah, now you are a woman. Good job with the Haftorah. And that is it for this hour of the BPP. We are always online at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rachel Martin. And this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Happy trails, Bat Mitzvah.